CliffCentral.com.
All right. Oh, look, Leanne isn't there yet. She's still in the loo. So, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
I always assume that you're on the loo when you're... that you're stuck there.
Oh, you've run that's out of, a nice picture.
Well, you've run out of bog roll or something.
Oh, no. Bring the toilet roll.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so... a few interesting things that people are talking about here. This TikTok nearby thing is very weird and a lot of people very uncomfortable about it. Okay, so somebody says, watch the risk in serial killers is going to rise because of this. You know, TikTok, obviously, they're starting this nearby feature, yeah, which will allow you to figure out like who around you is also on TikTok. Mm-hmm.
Doing a dance.
Yeah, and then all the creeps will come. TikTok is a crap phishing app, and Twitter is the toilet of social media. Well, Peter's full of positivity today, but yes, I do agree with you. Maybe I should get TikTok now so that I know which neighbors I need to avoid with Chase. I think that's a very good piece of advice. Congo Chris says that he wants to get it to avoid people too, remember, from just before we took a break. OnlyFans is going to go ballistic, says Tatra South Africa. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam says TikTok is starting to sound like a dating or hookup app. Maybe they'll realize you're never pure enough for the mob.
There are people on TikTok who've watched each other's TikToks.
Yeah.
There's one. Okay. If I may say, TikTok is just an extension of other social media apps. In fact, it's become really useful. There are doctors on TikTok. There are doctors on TikTok.
I'm not surprised.
There are men, you know, like mental professionals. There are you can find anything on TikTok from a professional point of view. Builders, anything. But anyway, there was one woman who was watching another woman, and they were lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
This other woman was in America. And she packed up her home and moved and said, you know, you're my lifetime partner. And the two of them are still together.
Hmm. So they're good stories. You're telling me they're good stories from all of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hugely. All right. Somebody here says, Tracy, she says, Telegram has that same function. You can find all sorts of social groups in your area. Just opened mine for the first time in ages, and within 10 kilometers, there's a Let's Swing It Up group. Woo!
Have you ever gone on to Eskom's Push? They've got like a...
I don't even have the app.
Nearby me or in my street.
Mm-mm. I don't have
and
the app.
There are people who are hooking up.
Oh, wow. Off Eskom's Push.
Yeah. Remember we spoke to the guy who started the app?
Yeah, I remember that. But I still don't have the app. You know what I've got?
Ask my street.
Oh, wow. You know, and so people hook up because of that? That's great. So load shedding has had some positive outcomes. You could say that load shedding is not all bad.
Ask my street at the moment. Does anyone have or sell local raw honey, peas, Randburg area? not a missing pet, but a big gray cat climbs into our garden at all times of the day. And fights with our Jack Russell.
People's lives are shit.
I've got plants to sell. Big pots. Small pots.
Oh, wow. Big pots, small pots, some as big as your head. It sounds ridiculous. Okay, I don't want to hear any more about your street. It sounds awful. Awful. Terrible. I mean, if you had a Let's Swing It Up group on your street, then I'd be interested. That sounds like you could drop some interesting messages in there.
Like an old age home.
You were talking about haircuts earlier, and you said that you're going for one this weekend, which is very exciting. I went for one yesterday, and you said that men have, like, there's more going on there. It's not more at all. It's very easy. And by the way, a man's haircut takes 15 to 20 minutes max. That includes, you know, having your hair washed, if you need that done, everything.
Yeah.
Dried.
But still,
a lot.
With a man's haircut, you will notice very quickly if if it's been good or bad, or if there's a big difference.
15 minutes. That's all it takes.
Have you ever had a really bad haircut from someone? Where you described what you wanted and they stuffed it up?
No. So first of all, I keep it pretty simple. I say to the guy, just trim it, tidy it up. Because it's never, I never grow it so long that it needs like major interventions. And it costs, I promise you, 250 Rand. That's all it cost me. So then I usually round it up to 300 and give them a 50 Rand tip. Sometimes it's a guy, sometimes it's a girl. I don't even care who the hairdresser is. I go to this place and they just do it for me. I go with that bzzz machine around the sides and the back, and then they just clip, 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 clip at the top.
I use that bzzz machine around the sides and the back as well every Friday.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Costs me nothing. It's just a battery.
Ad B says, once a year, 350 Rand. Once a year? Wow. Okay, very impressive. Congo Chris says, I just assumed Garrett's hair was always gelled that way since 99. Remember we used to use, I used to use gel back in the 90s. Do you remember gel? Gel was a thing.
Studio line from L'Oreal. Studio line.
Right. And Beth says, yeah, indeed, Garrett has Lego hair. That's Gord Laws' favorite thing, he reckons. It's Lego hair. Hi, Leanne. What's the name of that hairdresser again? I missed it. People are looking for hairdressers, ready. Okay, so a lot of people here, you know what's been happening on the comments section is we've been hacked by, well, it's hacked. It's like obviously a bot, and they put up these love chat best adult dating site things.
Oh, yeah.
And then I mean it's been happening for a couple of weeks, and then what happens is either St. Peeware or Ryan or me or Dory or whoever else is on the chat manages to delete them and block them. But it's so embarrassing because
it reminds me, I have a new client in the UK. It's called Book This House.
Oh yeah.
And she's got two homes in York. In York.
Yark.
Where she books them out, but they sleep like 20 people each.
Yeah.
And I went onto her social media just to see what she's been doing before I met with her. And I found all these spam adverts.
Oh, no.
Like, grow your cock.
Why?
And I had to tell her in the first meeting, and she's like in her 50s. And I had to say.
How do you explain?
I said, so what I'll also be doing as part of your package is I'll go through your social media and implement my community management techniques. For instance, there's quite a bit of spam up there at the moment. Oh, she says. I didn't know that.
What's spam? And then how did you explain that to her?
I just said, well, it was difficult because, you know, in South Africa you can just say, you know, sometimes witch doctors post these posts about find your lost lover.
Right.
But when I said witch doctors, and she went,
That's going to scare the hell out of her.
I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, I just said adverts about magical potions that can do things for your body.
Oh, okay. But you didn't actually say grow your cock.
No, but that's what's on there.
Well, you know, this weekend, I mean, I can't believe that they've ruined. August is already a horrible month, but they made it even worse by moving the Comrades Marathon. So a lot of, as Jittery Cursor says, a lot of sinewy men and women are heading to Durban for the first Comrades Marathon since 2019 this weekend. Why did they move it? It used to be in May or something, wasn't it?
I mean, the last time I ran it, I don't really remember.
You didn't run it. The lies.
You know, my mom did the Walking Comrades. There's a Walking Comrades. And she did
And
she didn't have toenails for about 3 years.
And I was in the Paralympics, sure.
Well, she could be now. She's in a wheelchair.
That's true.
Anyway.
Tell her to do the Rolling Comrades.
They see me rolling. Ding, ding.
All right. Well, if the comrades are on, then stay away from Durban and Maritzburg. That's pretty much the rule. Okay. Let's just see here. There are a couple other comments. I want to get to our guest. Okay, there's nothing important that I need to mention here. Your comments are all boring, so I'm just going to ignore them from here on in. All right, let's get to Shamila Miller, who is a South African actress who is appearing in various film and TV productions. She has already plenty of them, and she's very good. She's been both local and international in her renown and fame. She's best known for her roles in Blood and Water, Dead Places, and The Girl from St. Agnes. She's been in the film industry for over a decade, but you wouldn't think it looking at her, navigating this beautiful and scary profession, and she says she still has a lot more to show the world. And now I'm going to show you Shamila Miller. Dun, 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 dun. Look at her. There she is, looking magnificent. How great to have you on this morning. How are you, Miller?
Hi, guys. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm on the Gareth Cliff Show. Gareth, happy birthday.
I know. Thanks, babe. It's good to have you on. By the way, just, you know, because people who come on the show as guests sometimes are not even listeners to the show. And you've actually listened to the show before, so you actually know what's going on here.
I also listened to Tuesday's show, so I very much, it's fresh in my mind how you feel about actors, just FYI.
Oh, shit. Ooh. I didn't think about you when I said that. Do you want to argue with me right now? Do you want to argue with me right now
I'm not going to lie. That was painful to listen to because I was like, it's not easy. You were like, oh, it's so easy. Everyone can do it. It's just pretending. And I was like, how dare Gareth? It is not easy.
I did caveat that, and I did say there are great actors. And as if to prove my point and not gild the lily, look at this. She's been nominated for a SAFTA, Miller, in comedy mixtape for best actress in a TV comedy. That's very nice. But that's not the only award. Aren't you also going to the Toronto Film Festival or something sometime soon?
Yes. Yeah, I leave in 2 weeks. So I've got a film that came out called The Umbrella Man. And it's on EVA, which is like this new streaming site. And it's also on Amazon Prime. And we got accepted to be in competition at the Toronto Film Festival. How amazing?
That's bloody amazing. So when are you going and what do you have to know about this? Are you doing the whole red carpet thing?
It's a whole thing. So we leave here. So it starts on the 8th, but we only leave here on the 8th, and then we get to Toronto on the 9th. And then we've got our first premiere carpets on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 4 carpets in total. There's like 3 public ones and one like media one. So it's lots of carpets, lots of things, lots of outfits that I'm still not prepared for. So there's a lot going on. Yay.
All right. So let's just get into a little biographical stuff about you because, you know, you obviously everybody has some kind of a story and everybody wants to know your story before we get into all the projects that you've done and all the shows that you've been on and all the movies and everything else. So give us a little synopsis of when people go, oh, so tell us about yourself, which is the most horrible question ever. But, like, where do you begin
it
with?
It is my worst question. Yeah, exactly. It's like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just rattle off my CV so that I can be, so I can prove to you that, yes, I am a working actor? That's what happens.
Well, I mean, it's got to be said, right? You've done a lot of work. And acting, while I was very mean about it the other day, in this country, it's very, very difficult to get a lot of work and to get consistent work and to be able to keep doing that stuff. You have to really know a lot of people and do all of the networking possible to make that happen. It's not easy.
100%. No. It really, and it took me a really long time. Like so just background on me, I did always want to be an actress. Like, I don't think there's anything, I didn't try and be anything. I didn't have a plan B, basically. And since I was a little girl, I was like, that's what I want to do. I was like, I want to be a video girl, as in like the people that we went to the video store to like rent DVDs. I was like, I don't want to be the TV person. I want to be the video girl.
Nice.
So that's always been my like goal and dream. But it is tough because I graduated in 2009 and I was on stage for a while and then I got my first television role like end of 2013. So it took me a really long time to like book my first TV role.
Did you lose hope? Were you kind of a little bit depressed about that for a while. I mean, it is a long time to not have real work.
I was on stage and I was still creating. I was still working. And I just, it's really demoralizing. It's like.
So where did you study?
I was at AFTA. I went to film school.
Okay. And then you're with all these other actors, and did some of them have work before you? And you were like, that bitch.
100%. If I knew someone that had booked anything, I'd be like, congratulations.
Yeah, but you weren't really thrilled for them. Yeah, you were like,
No. It was drenched in disdain. In my congratulations, I was sure. Like, you fucking whore. but it's really difficult. And even to this day, I've been working consistently for the last few years, but sometimes I sit without work for like a month. I didn't work for like, 2 months in the beginning.
What do you do in that time?
That's the only time I get to see her, actually.
Yeah, that's true. I'm like the queen of keeping busy. I don't like people ask me this all the time, like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm always busy with something. I feel like there's no things to do. But the time off is nice because I am, when I am working, it's crazy and nonstop. So I like to take the time. But even in those months, I'm like, what have I done? Why didn't I listen to my elders and my mother when they said, don't go into acting, it's not stable. So that still happens to this day. So that's...
So when your parents phone you, you go, sorry, on a film set, and then you go back to tidying your toilet roll.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what I do. And that's exactly it. I tidy my toilet roll.
Listen, you can message Miller, and then sometimes she just won't get back to you for weeks because she's on some fancy shoot somewhere, exotic, doing something really cool. And then, other times you just want her to shut up because she's got nothing to do and she's just bothering everybody. So, all right.
I'm like, hey, guys, let's have lunch. Oh, so, you're working? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Yonder says, hey, now, finally some sexiness up in the studio. Gareth, we should have more of this on Fridays. Excellent.
Oh, it's because it's his birthday, that's why.
That's very nice. Okay, so tell us, family background and everything, what do they think of the acting?
Well, now that I'm successful, they love it.
Yeah, sure.
Because in the beginning it's like, oh, she's an actress, but I've done one TV commercial and maybe a play that nobody's come to see. And they're like, yay, go. But not really convinced that it's going to happen. But now that I'm in there, they're like, now I'm hearing from cousins that I've never even known existed.
Oh, boy.
On Facebook, and be like, oh, I knew I'm related to your someone, and this is blah, 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 blah. Please send me 300 rand. I get a lot of
Please send me 300 rand.
Yeah.
I mean, how much are they willing to risk for 300 rand?
It's wild. Here's my number. You can e-wallet.
Yeah. all right. So what kind of stuff do you really like doing? And what sort of stuff is annoying? Because I saw you on a soap opera the other day. I was flicking through the channels. And I know that that's nobody's favorite thing to do. But I was like, obviously, they needed you. And you were like, well, I've got some time, so I'll do this.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. So I did that right after Umbrella. The Afrikaans one are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I was on one of those channels. I was going through it, and
yeah.
I was like, "Wow, there's Shamil on that." I thought they must be paying her a lot.
Sure. No, so I did that right after Umbrella Man. That was last year, and it was like one of those. It was November that we finished shooting the movie, and
oh wow,
the soapy. It was just one storyline. So it was from November until end of January. And I'm like, I haven't booked anything.
Do it.
And I was like, oh, it's not, you don't usually book things in December. You have to pre-book them and have it lined up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, otherwise I'm not going to have anything to do for the rest of the year. And I was like, fuck it. I'll be on here for 8 weeks. And I did. It was a good experience. It was a very good experience.
No, sure.
The people were lovely.
How much time?
It's just not.
How much time does that take? I mean, do you have to be on set every day? Because I know how much of film and television is hurry up and wait. Do you sit around? Is it near home so you can at least go home and have lunch or something if you don't want to sit around on the set all day? mean, like, what kind of stuff does it? Because most of us will never understand and never experience the world of an actor, whether it's in a, you know, fancy high budget movie or whether it's in a little local production. How does it vary? Like, give me the 1-star experience and then tell me what the 5-star experience is like.
Yeah. So, I mean, with this soapy, was nowhere near home because I live in Joburg and that was shot in Cape Town. They're not too bad. So you have to be there every single day because they shoot an episode a day and they kind of, they try to group you, like in your scene. So if you're there in the morning or if you're there in the afternoon, you can kind of stagger your call time.
Okay.
You do have your own dressing room, so you can, you do chill a lot, if you're not in every single scene, but if you're in a lot of scenes, you're working and you're like learning lines and it's so quick. Like it's like factory work, the soap opera genre.
The sausage factory.
It was literally, like being in a factory. It's not my favorite thing. That's why I'm glad I did it. Cause I'm like, I know that's, you know, I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't need that kind of stability. So I was like, I'm glad I tasted it.
I don't want to be, cause I was so rude about actors on Tuesday. It's very important that you point that out again. So I was so rude, but let's also accept the fact that South Africa, and I did say this on the show on Tuesday, that soap operas are the most popular thing on TV in South Africa. So if you're on one of those, I mean, I remember I did a cameo on Generations once. Do you remember, Leanne? It was when I was still on radio as well.
What?
They put me on.
I don't remember that.
Generations when it was at its, it was at its height, right? And I remember I was like, because
this has made my day.
No, man. What do you mean? You've never heard this before?
No.
No, so I'm not an actor's asshole. I couldn't do it if I tried. I really couldn't, which is also part of the reason I'm probably a little bit mean.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, what happened? What?
There I am.
No, you're back. No. Don't worry. Okay, so I did this cameo on Generations. They invited me on. They were like, it'll be funny. We have you play yourself, and you have to like be at this party so with all the characters from Generations. I was like, cool, I'll do this, because Generations was the biggest show on TV. I still get people now.
What were you doing, DJing or talking?
No, I was wearing a suit and I was like walking with Sophie Ndaba or somebody and I was like talking to her or something. But I mean, they did like 2 takes because I had one line and I fucked it up maybe 3 or 4 times But they really have to move you along. So they eventually are like, that's not great, but it's okay. We'll use that. But what I was getting to is when I did it, there are still people who come up to me and say, hey, you know, we saw you in Generations. And that was years ago and it was for like 2 minutes. So when you do a show like that, it has tremendous power in this country. And even though we always say rude things about like soap operas and they really are a bit of a factory and they get like loads of episodes churned out in a week and, you know, they put them in the can and then they, for example, these ones that you did, they only screened them like recently, right?
Yeah.
So when you do that, that is, let's say it's a 1-star experience, but that's at the one end. And at the other end, when you do
this. Honestly, that's not even a 1-star experience. Like as much as if you get over the factory part of it, like it's still a kind of comfortable experience. Like I've had worse job.
Okay, so give us the worst without having to mention names. Is it like an ad?
No, ads are great. The food's amazing. The craft's amazing. The money's amazing. I'll do commercials any day. You get paid so much money on like what I got paid on like the last commercial that I did for one day. I probably got paid more than what I made the entire soap opera 2 months that I was there. No, it's insane. So commercials are 5-star. But 1-star would be like, you know, if you're like helping out on a student film, I haven't done those in a long time, but this sounds so privileged, but like when you don't have a trailer, you're like on location outside and it's raining or the wind's blowing and it's just uncomfortable. And
no blue M&Ms.
I like the green ones. It's especially if you're like outside in the elements and you're having to do. Well, the worst thing is when you're you have to pretend that it's warm when you're shooting in the middle of winter.
Oof.
That happens
a
lot.
In a bikini with fake sweat coming down your forehead.
100%. Or even if you're like in a little spaghetti strap top and like little shorts and you're like, oh, it's summer, but it's like 1 degree outside. That happens all the time. And then, and especially if you don't have a trailer, you're just like standing on the street in your gown, like
someone from Ashland. Like a hooker.
Like literal trailer trash.
Like literal trailer trash. And so that happens a lot. Yeah. If you have a trailer, then it's fine. But a lot of, you know, the trailer thing is very new. It's like the last couple of years, now we get trailers. But before 2017, there weren't really many trailers going around. So, yeah.
That's
okay. And is it the Fenta trailer?
All right. So the big film sets now, when you're doing a big international production and you've done a couple of these too, do they really like lay out the red carpet and there's someone bowing and scraping when you come onto set and there's someone who's assigned to you to look after your needs all day? Because I've heard that these real Hollywood stars, and you've worked with a few of these people as well, they are so looked after. They are so particular and peculiar about what they want that they actually have someone who's assigned to them the whole time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't had one person assigned to me, but usually on a set, you've got different ADs, assistant directors.
Mm-hmm.
So the third AD looks after actors. So they'll like come up to you. They'll be like, do you need anything? Is everything, you know, to your standard? And if you don't want to walk all the way to craft, you can be like, please, can I have a hazelnut latte? Thank you.
Okay. Wow.
If the sun's shining, if the sun's shining, they'll come to your trailer too, because you get invited to set when it's your turn to like go onto set. And they'll come to the trailer with an umbrella, and then they'll walk you over to transport. On the other side, there'll be another third AD that'll walk you from transport with an umbrella, so you're not like in the sunlight and affected by anything. There was this one experience I had when I was shooting Troy, which is like probably one of the biggest sets I've been on. The one day we were standing in the sun, and the third AD was like, "Can I get you anything to drink?" And I was like, "Oh, I'd love a coconut water." He was like, "He's a young guy," and I was like, and I was like, "No, I'm joking," and I was joking. The next day, there was a cooler box of coconut water.
No,
just because I requested it the day before, and I was like, "So nice."
That's amazing.
I follow an intimacy coach on TikTok, or like an intimacy coordinator.
No, you don't follow them. You actually pay that person to help you with your intimacy issues. Let's be honest. All right, yes.
She has to, I mean, firstly, like if you're doing an intimate scene, the actors have to wear, and this is not to you, but to anyone who's listening, have to wear these like barriers over their penis or over their vagine so that they don't touch. And then not only that, but she has to like coordinate when they arrive, how naked they are, is the rest of are the directors and the cameramen, are they all okay with watching this and tick off a list? Like, are they not going to be scarred for life because they watched a sex scene?
Yeah.
It's hectic.
Also, because sex scenes are the most awkward. I haven't done many. But I've done like kissing scenes, and we still have intimacy coaches for that. But The sex scenes are so awkward, guys. It's so technical because the camera is there to like catch exactly a moment. So it's like you've got a director and the intimacy coach going, okay, so in this shot, we need you like caressing or kissing a certain area. And it's very technical. And everyone's just like trying. It's a closed set for the most part, but everyone's like trying not to look. And you're like half naked. It's wild. Yeah, I've done one sex scene. It looked phenomenal. It was so beautiful. It was on Love, Lies, and Hybrids. And it was with a woman, so like it was even more sensual. But it's like, awkward as hell to shoot.
Are you encouraged to make the noises?
Normally,
it comes naturally.
I'm so pleased that Leanne is asking all these awkward questions today. I don't have to. So obviously when you do this stuff, when you're performing, I mean, I saw this incredible like behind the scenes thing once where the guy with the camera is standing on the bed and the girl's lying down and she's like holding his legs which are meant to be the arms of the man that she's, and he's like zooming in on her face as if it's like, it's not a porno, it's like a sex scene for a movie. But okay, you look at this from the outside and you're like, what a horrible situation to be in. This girl has to pretend that she's like, you know, she's having sex with this dude, but it's actually the cameraman who's standing like glowering above her. And then she's like looking into the camera, trying to appear sensual while all of this is happening. And that's probably not the easiest thing in the world to pretend.
It's not at all. I mean, the thing is, like, when you're on set, it's so, like, you kind of just go with the flow. You're so in character and you're like, this is what needs to do. And so as an actor, as a film actor, you have to understand the technical part of it as well.
Yeah.
So you kind of just get on with it. And I think in hindsight, you'll look back, or if you see something like that, you'll be like, yeah, that is weird. Like, the audience will never know. But
smoke and
but
mirrors.
For you as an actor, you're like, if this is your frame and this is what the camera guy is getting, it doesn't matter what's happening here because the audience can't see that. So as long as you understand that technically, you're like, this is what I need to sell to make the shot work. So it's
so Corona's Boring wants to know, who's the person who dishes out the cocaine on the set? Is that the line producer?
That is definitely the line producer, because the line producers do, like, you know, they control schedules and I guess some kind of budget, I think, whatever.
Carl says, tell us again.
And it's not a mirror.
Tell us again how hard acting is while you're driven to set in a golf cart sipping a fucking coconut water. Great. That's great.
It's so hard. It's so hard. Gareth, I told someone, I called it earlier. He was like, you can't even, you're so bad at acting, you can't even pretend to be yourself.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Yeah. Yeah. Gareth is so cuck at acting, he fucked up playing himself. Lol. Thanks. Carl's full of beans this morning. You know, if you really.
It's nice to see the comments live, because I usually listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm always yelling out. I'm like, this and this. And now I'm just like,
well, the comment section on this show has become a show all on its own. I mean, I almost want to start like a separate show where people just are commenting and you can just watch the comments rather than even listen to me. Because sometimes there are fights, like someone wants to kill someone else, and then this one's like, oh, they should be blocked, and how could this person possibly listen to this show, and who do you think you are, and F you, and... So, all right. What's on the agenda for you at the moment? I mean, are you busy with any projects right now? And what's the next big thing?
So I literally just wrapped on Monday or Sunday, the last weekend. I wrapped on a show. It's a Netflix show called, I don't know if I can say the name, but it's a Netflix show. It's coming to the screen next year.
Very cryptic.
It was kind of a fun character. I play a stripper.
Oh, wow. So that's okay.
I had to go for like pole dancing lessons. That was fun. Obviously I've got Toronto coming up in 2 weeks. And after Toronto, I'm going to go to LA for a couple of weeks with a meeting. And then I come right back. Yeah, my year is actually full, because I come back and I do a film in KZN. And then I do a series, called Devil's Peak in Cape Town.
Okay.
And then at the end of the year, we are going to go into production for The Umbrella Man 2.
Oh, very good. All right. So when you talk about these high budget productions, and I mean, I looked at your IMDb, which is like an actor's CV, right? And it's long. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on here. We've got all kinds of things. You started off all the way back in like 2013 playing a bar lady. And then you kind of watch you playing this character Athena in 2018 in that Troy Fall of a City. You know, the girl from St. Agnes, which obviously a lot of people will know. Dead Places, The Umbrella Men, where you're Keisha. So what kind of characters do you like playing? Because I've met a lot of actors who only like playing the bad people. They say those are way more fun. You play a proper villain, and you can actually just drop the morality and the nonsense, and you can actually fantasize about what it would be like to be a psychopath or a nasty person or someone truly, truly evil.
Yeah. I mean, those are – darker characters are so much more fun to play. I've not played a villain as of yet, but it is something that I want to do. I want to do like an action film where I'm the villain.
Wow.
Because I just think it's a lot of fun. That's kind of like what I want. Because I play a lot of, I do a lot of drama. Like, I'm known as like a dramatic actress, and it is something that I'm good at. Yeah. But I've done so much of that, and I'm like kind of wanting to veer out. I did one comedy thing, and then I got nominated.
Oh, wow. Not a lot. Now, listen. There it is. That's the SAFTA. When do we do the SAFTAs, or has that already happened?
No, it's on the 2nd or the 3rd, or the 2nd and the 3rd of September. I mean, okay. I'm not going to win because Boosie died. So.
What?
Oh. What?
Yeah. So who died? Boosie, the How to Ruin Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
my so gosh.
She died the week that the SAFTAs were announced. And so now I'm just like, I mean, love her. She was amazing. I knew her. But I just feel like.
She'll get the sympathy
she's probably
votes.
Gonna get it because, yeah, you know what I mean? And even online you can see. So it's not an even playing field. So we don't know who would have won in this category.
You have to die to win this. It's not worth
you
it.
You have to die.
It's not,
yeah.
Worth it. No, so, don't bother.
My God, you too.
Don't bother.
Yeah,
you can
no,
see.
No, that's not like literally it came out and I was like, oh, and she died like, it came out on a Friday or Thursday and she died on like the Monday and I'm like,
what
no
a
one
stunt.
Stands a chance because now, you know what I mean?
No, you can see why we get along, Leanne. All right, so Miller, what is this? Because you are, how old are you now?
33.
Okay, 33. So how come I have a picture of you in the 80s? Look at this. This came up on my Instagram feed the other day.
Oh, God.
80s vintage visions, and you can see that's from the 80s.
Oh, my Lord.
And there you are, back in the 80s. What the hell are you doing
look
in the
at
80s?
That.
Huh, what?
You can't expose me to the fact that I'm a vampire, Garrett. Calm down. Well, have you seen the movie The Man from Earth? He, like, you know, ages until a certain age and then lives forever. That's me.
All right.
That is me.
Well, listen, I've loved having you on the show. It's been a long time coming, and I'm sorry it took us so long. I'm going to blame the producers. Yeah. But
I'm going to blame the fact that you don't like actors.
Yeah, well, I think I made up for that this morning, have I not?
You did.
We're back to zero, okay? No more.
Fine.
No ugly harboring of grudges in the background anymore.
Nah, I'm just pulling your leg, Gene.
Yeah, whatever.
It's just because you couldn't do it, Gareth.
No. She's right. She is right. Anything I can't do, I
also,
just...
Also, because it's not acting isn't pretending like you keep saying. Because, like, good actors are not pretending. They're telling the truth, right? They're, finding the truth in something. So.
Yeah, right. Okay. I will admit that anything I don't like, I disparage. Like, for example, golf. Acting, all the stuff I can't do. Yeah, generally.
Eating,
all right,
cooking.
Stop. Enough. You don't have to go, through all my weaknesses. All right, very nice to have you on the show and have an excellent weekend. And I hope I get to see you soon. But good luck for the Toronto Film Festival. That's going to be amazing.
Thank you. Amazing. Enjoy the rest of your birthday, Virgo, you.
Thank you. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, bye.
There's Shamila Miller. Isn't she lovely?
Man.
Yeah.
Just a real person. I like that.
She's just great. She's like that in real life. She's exactly the same, which is exactly what you wouldn't expect from an actor.
Exactly.
Okay. So many things in the comments going on here. It is great to see how people can call out their own mistakes and laugh at themselves. Who are you referring to there? Maybe me with the actor thing?
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay. Imagine being a cameraman in these things and you're asked to like film like either a sex scene or a murder or something else. And these cameramen, I mean, I've met some of them obviously with the TV stuff I've done.
Yeah.
They're the most hardcore people of all. You know, they'll do.
They are.
One weekend they'll be chasing people down the side of a rugby field, filming them. And they'll be like literally running with a camera on their shoulder. And they'll be going faster than the rugby players sometimes. There's this very funny clip that I saw on Instagram the other day of this dude at an Olympic race, like the 100-meter sprints or hurdles or something. And he's running alongside the competitors, and he's actually faster than the competitors.
That's amazing. But also they've got strange personalities. They almost remind me of like paramedics.
Yeah, they're very similar.
Because they're so hardened. To shit. They're like, they're weird. Like if you speak to them at a bra and you talk about the fact that your aunt has cancer or whatever, and they're like, they're just hardened.
Well,
they kind of remind me of the studio, what were they called, producers that we had at 5FM?
Oh, yeah.
Tony and
the
gang.
Yeah, Tony and Ed. Those guys are like,
nothing would affect them.
These guys, you
could tell them.
They could have been in like a war zone filming something for CNN or, you know, you never know where they've been. And it's like photographers are of two kinds. You get the photographers who take their art hugely seriously and are willing to go and like photograph, you know, someone starving to death in like the worst corner of Afghanistan and just not get involved.
Yeah.
So you take the picture and you're not allowed to make a difference in that place. You just got to take the picture and that's your job. And they're either those hardcore, like, this is my art kind of people, or they can be creepy. That's the only two kinds of photographers I think.
There's the other extreme.
That's it. And the same goes for cameramen. Film
like a cub lion being eaten by a hyena.
A cub lion, Leanne?
Isn't that what they're called?
A lion cub would probably be a better way of putting it, but okay.
Oh, okay. Being eaten by a hyena and they can't step in and do anything about it. There was that famous photographer who took a picture of a child that was dying from starvation.
Yeah, I remember that. With the vulture was already next to him.
Yeah. I mean, those people get asked questions for the rest of their lives. You know, why didn't you stop it?
You're not allowed to. I mean, it's like, for example, if you're going to go and film things in the wild and there's this little baby wildebeest and it's about to be eaten by a cub lion, for example, and then you're not allowed to interfere, right? You've got to stay out of it. It must be very difficult, but they are hardcore people. And cameramen also have to be pretty fit and unemotional. They're like, you go over there and film that, then come here and do this. They work damn hard. That's tough. And you're carrying around a lot of gear all the time. Beth says the cameramen and the sound engineers see the most. I think that's true.
Yeah.
Cameramen. Corona's boring says cameramen have different filters for life. I think you're being funny, but I think that's actually quite poignant.
That's
quite a good point.
Parallel
Parking says, I knew the guy took that photograph and that pic eventually drove him to suicide. Wow.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's quite hectic. I'm not sure.
Sure.
Listen, quick thing before we get to Borge, who I know will be excited to see you again because you haven't been on for Fridays for a while. Borge, who you named as Borge. Before we get to that, so is it okay for my birthday today if I respond to everybody who says happy birthday with the same message?
Yes.
Is it okay if I just
I know for myself, when it's somebody's birthday, it's actually, I'm not really happy that it's their birthday.
Oh, you're a horrible person.
But you have to pretend that you're happy.
Oh, you're an
awful. Happy birthday. You are
such
exploding.
Miss Havisham.
Confetti.
So
I wouldn't mind if you just went, thanks.
Is that enough for you?
Yeah, okay, definitely. Well, it's been awkward enough for me to do it.
Well, it's been great spending not only Monday this week, but Friday with you, Miss Havisham. And I hope we'll get you on again very soon. Let's go to Borge, who's on the line. Hey, Borge, how are you doing?
Hi, Paul.
Hello, Gareth. Hello, Brienne.
What's going on there? It's where are you?
I'm at the Festival of Motoring at the Auto Trader stand.
Nice. Look at you. And it's already busy at this time of the morning.
Very busy. I think it's going to be packed here today. Absolutely packed.
Can you hear me
okay? Because it's very noisy.
Oh, no. Your sound. I was just about to say your sound is fantastic. So even though there's a lot of background ambience, we've got good sound from Borge this morning. And Leanne and I are both very happy to see you. So what do you got for us for this Friday, Borge?
So firstly, Gareth, I think somebody in the audience, or one of the Cliff Central listeners, sent through a question.
Yes.
And I think let's address that question first. So the question goes, hi there. In short, leasing versus buying cars, cash flow financed. This person wanted to know whether, it's basically better to rent a car or better to buy a car. And their comment was, it's like pissing away your hard-earned cash if you attempt to buy a car because it's not an asset. Now, to answer the question, a car is not an asset. It's a depreciating asset, if you want to call it that. So it's never efficient to buy a car, unless you buy an old classic that's going to appreciate in value. But every single car on the planet is going to depreciate in value, and you can't really predict how much it's going to depreciate.
I've noticed you guys, George, I've noticed you guys talking on the Auto Trader podcast about renting, and you in the last couple of clips that I've seen in the ad. You guys have been talking about, what happens with a rental car and how much they can cost and which is the most expensive one. There was some Bugatti Veyron, I think, that you guys were looking at for. You can rent it for 30,000 Rand a day or something. And
exactly. Yes.
And you were also talking about how at a certain age they kind of penalize you because they will rent the car to you at a much higher price than if you're over that age.
Yeah. Yeah, so the same thing goes with interest rates if you finance a car. So you've got to be careful with rentals, though, because not everything is a pure rental. Mm-hmm. Most rentals out in the marketplace today are rent to own, which is you sign a contract, you rent the car, and eventually you own it. It's really just another creative, fancy way to finance a car. But pure rentals, and I think that's what this lady that asked the question, is it worth going for a pure rental versus buying a car outright? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer is they've still got to make profit off that asset. So there's some companies like Planet 42 that do pure rental. You can change your car within 3 months if you like. And switch it out. So it is worth going to look at rentals. But what I would do is I would calculate the rental cost over a 5-year period, calculate the cost of running an actual owned car, make some assumptions around the depreciation of the car over a 5-year period, and then make your decision based on the 5-year real cost of ownership of a car rather than is rental cheaper than buying a car. Yes, it's going to be cheaper in the month, mm-hmm. but in the 5-year period, is it cheaper?
Yeah, it's a complicated decision, and there's so many factors, as you point out. But I'm just glad that people can send these questions and you take the trouble to answer them, because some of them are quite complicated. It's not like a straightforward yes or no. Please keep your questions for George to a yes or no. He doesn't have all the time in the world. He's trying to run a company there. It's a huge business, Auto Trader. He doesn't have all goddamned week to answer your complicated questions. Send him yes or no's. Yeah.
And we also tend to treat George like a bit of a mechanic. Like when I have a problem with my car, ask him about it. at the moment, my car, if I put the key in, remember this is old school car, right? If I put the key in and I turn it to the point where the radio comes on.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the accessory mode, ACC.
Accessory mode. Mm-hmm. Now, my starter motor is a little bit tucked up, right? So it can, if I let go of my hands completely, the car sometimes starts by itself.
Wow.
And it did,
I think you have an electrical problem.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think you have an electrical problem.
I was going to go in and say, very proudly, my starter motor is messed up. But is it an electrical
problem? It could be an electrical problem at the starter motor. There's a little solenoid on the top of the starter motor. Now, I'm not a mechanic, but I know a lot about cars.
There's a little solenoid. You just said the word solenoid, and Leanne went, huh? Because she's from the South. When people talk about car parts, it gets her all fired up.
I know tappets. I know about tappets, but yeah.
Tappets, yes. Some of them have tappets, some of them don't. Nowadays, my car has no tappets, so it's fine. So there's a little solenoid on the top of the starter motor that when you turn the key, power goes onto that solenoid and then it pushes the starter motor into the engine and then turns the car. Sometimes that solenoid gives trouble, and that's what causes this automatic kind of thing that you're experiencing. Could be that.
It started once when my mom's carer was putting the wheelchair in the back of the car, and my mom was settling in from her wheelchair. And we almost drove into the doctor's office.
Jesus, because
the car just started by itself.
Yeah, I think you need to. I think you need to have that looked at, Leanne. You know, and I'm not talking about the car. I'm talking about your head at the doctor. All right, what else have you got for us, George?
So here's a question: have you ever locked your keys inside your car? And if the answer to that is yes, some people have on YouTube. You can go and Google this if you want. Think that you can open your car with a half a tennis ball. I don't know if you've ever seen this trick on YouTube.
Yeah, does it work?
They put the half. No. So no. I'm here to debunk the myth. We've done a lot of searching, and we can't find any proper evidence. A lot of these videos are very grainy. You can't really see what's going on. They put the tennis ball over the keyhole of the car, and they smack it, and the car's locks pop open. We think that this is a myth that doesn't really happen with half a tennis ball. So is it true? Don't think so. It's hard to find the answer, but there's a lot of people touting the fact that they can open a car with a half a tennis ball. And if somebody can open a car with a half a tennis ball, I invite them to come to the stand here and try and do it, because it ain't going to happen.
All right, so where is this this festival of motoring that you're at now?
Well, that was one of the things I was going to get to next. So good question, Gareth, and that is at Kyalami. It's from the 26th to the 28th, which is today until Sunday.
Cool.
Kyalami Grand Prix Circuit.
Nice.
And it's one of the biggest automotive exhibitions in the country, and it's back in its non-virtual form. They had to put it off for a while because of COVID, but we're glad it's back. And there's a couple of competitions you can win if you come to our stand. The first one is we have a big screen on this end of me. Let's see if I can turn my camera a little bit. A big screen, which is a touch screen. If you look there, that looks like a big phone.
Wow.
And it's a big touch screen. You can come. We've hidden some cars on Auto Trader's website. So if you come and you perform a couple of searches and you find the cars that are hidden, you can be entered into a competition for a drive around the Ferrari, to drive around the Kyalami circuit in a Ferrari. Not, you won't be driving, you'll be in with a racing driver.
Awesome.
But the experience is worth 15,000 Rand if you come in.
Oh, okay.
Use the touchscreen and find the cars.
George, I love this. I was going to say to people, they should come and see you anyway. I think a lot of people who listen to the show every week might want to come and meet you and say hi. So are you going to be there all day?
I'll be here all day.
Awesome. Go and say hello to Borge. And if you do what he said now, the hidden cars that are on the Auto Trader website, you could win a 15,000 Rand ride around the Kyalami circuit with a racing driver in a Ferrari. That is an experience. I once did that with who's the guy who owns Hollard Insurance?
I don't know his name, but Hollard's a big business.
Yeah, and he collects Ferraris, and he was like, yeah, this is something you've got to do. So he took me around the track there. It was absolutely exhilarating. And you've done it a couple of times, right?
Yes, I've been on this track at night in Ferraris and GTIs and in the day as well. So we've got our partners, Pablo Clark. You can see Pablo Clark on this Ferrari over here standing in the stand.
Yes.
Pablo Clark has kindly parked their old classic Ferrari. You can see one in the background there behind me. Oh, that way. And then you can see a simulator. If you look at there, there's a Formula One simulator.
Wow.
Okay, so another way you can stand to enter the 15,000 Rand experience is if you beat my time in the simulator. So I sat in the simulator yesterday. Why?
Because you can fly and drive everything on the planet.
Well, you don't have to technically beat my time. The top people that get close to my time, the people that beat my time, will definitely be, you know, in the draw. But the people that get closest get into the draw as well. And I've managed to do a time of 1:26 around the Monza, the Italian circuit, in that simulator.
George, please, there's some tappet driving around behind you making a huge racket.
I just got a poodle from that.
God, couldn't get any worse. All right, anything else from you, Borge?
No, that's it. I'm going to have fun being here today, and listen to the next episode of the Auto Trader podcast, because we are doing a car laws episode. We've done a car laws episode; it'll air next week, and some of the road rules and. we unpack some of the car laws around the world, including, driving on the autobahn and why the speed limits are unlimited.
Well, you shouldn't miss that show anyway. And I just love the fact that George is live this morning at Kyle Army, and we only find out when he comes on. It's just great. We never know where you're going to be. You could be in the air. You could be on the ground. You could be on a skid pan. You could be on the Formula One track. Who knows? It's great to have you on, George, and great way to end the show this morning. Thanks, everybody. Have a happy day and a good weekend. And we will see you on Monday at 6 a.m.
Happy birthday, Gareth, just by the way.
Thank you, Borge. Thank you, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Ass. Bye. Okay. CliffCentral.com.